In another narration, it was said that when you pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of your sins will be brought and will be put on your back. But when you make ruku', they will fall off. When you bow, they will fall off. When you prostrate to Allah azza wa jal, they will fall off. And by the end of the prayer, all of your sins will be forgiven. Well, did you know that by you neglecting your prayer, you're harming the whole ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It's not just only you that you are harming by this. You're harming all of the nation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Are you happy with the situation of the Muslims in Palestine? Are you happy with the situation of the Muslims in Iraq? Are you happy with the situation of Muslims everywhere? Or you want to change that? You know what Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran? ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. That corruption have appeared in the land and in the sea. Why? Because of what people's hands have earned. I don't think I would ever forget that fatwa that I heard once from Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah. Someone said to him that, oh Shaykh, I neglect like Salat al-Fajr. I do not pray Salat al-Fajr and so forth. You know what the Shaykh told him? He said, fear Allah Azza wa Jal in the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By you doing this, you're harming everyone in the Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if you really want to help the Muslims, start by praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you like to live your life in darkness? Or would you like to live this life in complete light? Would you like to come on the Day of Judgment with light flowing all over around you? Or would you like to come on the Day of Judgment with darkness? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that هذه الصلوات, these daily prayers, من حافظ عليهن كانت له نورا وبرهانا يوم القيامة. It will be a light and an evidence for him on the Day of Judgment. وَمَنْ لَمْ يُحَافِظْ عَلَيْهِنْ. And for those who do not preserve them and take care of them. And before I finish this hadith, I'm going to tell you a short story and then I'm going to finish the hadith. When I was in the university, I had a friend of mine. I asked him, brother, how did you start practicing Islam? Why did you start praying? Why did you start practicing Islam? He said, you know what? Actually, it was a dream that I had. I said, what is that dream? He said, I had a dream that I was sitting in something just like a conveyor belt, like the ones you see in the airport. He said, I was sitting in that thing, and in front of me were some people, and behind me there were also some people. And this thing keeps dropping the people into the fire of hell. It's going towards the fire of hell and it keeps dropping the people in hellfire. So he said, I asked the person in front of me, I said, who are you? This is obviously a dream. So he said, I asked him, who are you? He said, I am Fir'aun. He said, I looked behind me and I said, who are you? He said, I am Haman, the helper of Fir'aun. And he said, I was sitting in the middle between these two most evil people going towards the hellfire. Imagine if this was a reality. Alhamdulillah that it was a dream. He said, I woke up and I said, that's it. I have to repent to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And this is how I started praying. SubhanAllah, when he said that story, I remembered this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that if you preserve these prayers, they are going to be a light and an evidence for you on the Day of Judgment. And if you do not take care of these five daily prayers, they are not going to be a light, nor would they be an evidence for you on the Day of Judgment. And on the Day of Judgment, you are going to be gathered with Fir'aun, with Haman, and with Ubay ibn Khalaf, a third disbeliever. This is what the Prophet ﷺ said, believe it or not. These are the people that you will accompany. And he was talking to Muslims. SubhanAllah, obviously you don't need dreams to start praying. But many people, subhanAllah, the reason why they started to practice Islam was because of a dream that they saw. Like another one of my brothers said that there is a story of a man, he didn't used to pray. So he had a dream that someone sent him a fax. And in that fax it said, 24434. And it says to him, Ya Abdullah, ittaqillah. O servant of Allah, fear Allah. 24434. When I woke up, he said, I remember that dream and I said to myself, 24434. These are the rak'ahs of the salawat that I am not performing. And then he started praying his five daily prayers. Well, you might not receive a dream, right? But you know from the reality that you are obligated to pray these five daily prayers. What if someone did you something very simple? Like, for example, you're carrying so many things, and another person comes and he says, let me help you, and he helps you with something. You feel that this person did me a favor, and I should at least say to him, thank you. What about Allah Azza wa Jal who provided you with this sight by which you can see? He gave you these ears by which you can hear. He gave you these kidneys that work 36 times a day. And many people didn't have that. What about every single blessing that Allah Azza wa Jal blessed you with? What about the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal guided you to know that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah? Don't you have to thank Allah Azza wa Jal at least for these things? How long does every prayer take? Does it take more than 7 minutes or 8 minutes? Is it too much to give Allah Azza wa Jal from 24 hours, 40 minutes every day, to say just to say to Allah Azza wa Jal, thank you for all of these blessings that you have given me? This salah brings the person closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ. That you'll be in the closest position to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you're making sujood to Allah azza wa jalla. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ask Allah and inshallah Allah azza wa jalla will answer your prayers. When you're prostrating to Allah, you'll be in the closest position to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised him. He said, make much sujood, prostration to Allah azza wa jalla. For whenever you make a sajda, a prostration to Allah Azza wa Jal, He will raise you a rank. And that Allah Azza wa Jal will wipe away from you a bad deed. Have you seen some people who might be working in some place where they get dirty from just working physically, their hands and so forth? The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave a beautiful example. He said, imagine a person like that. But this person passes every day by five rivers. Would any filth stay on him? No, nothing will stay on him. The Prophet ﷺ said that this is the similitude of the five daily prayers. One of us should pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala these five daily prayers before a day comes when you'll be asked to prostrate by Allah Azza wa Jal, and you would not be able to do so. That day is the day of judgment. Allah Azza wa Jal says that this is going to happen on the day of judgment. يَوْمَ يُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُ. That they will be asked to prostrate, to make sajda, but they will not be able to do so. Their backs will be so stiff that only the believers, those people who really used to pray in this dunya, are going to be able to prostrate to Allah Azza wa Jal. The rest of the people, their backs are stiff. They can't make sujood to Allah Azza wa Jal. خَاشِعَةً أَبْصَارُهُمْ. They'll be looking down. تَرْهَقُهُمْ ذِلَّةً. In humiliation. Why? Allah Azza wa Jal says, قَدْ كَانُوا يُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ وَهُمْ سَالِمُونَ. They were asked before to prostrate to Allah Azza wa Jal when they were in good shape. But they chose not to prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us to maintain these five daily prayers. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us among those who love going to the masjid to pray these five daily prayers with the Muslims. From the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that whenever a person goes to the masjid, Allah Azza wa Jal will prepare for him his place in Jannah. Your place will be prepared for you in Jannah whenever you go to the masjid or when you come back from the masjid. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said to the Sahaba that if you go to the masjid, your prayer in the masjid is better than your prayer at home with 20 something degrees. That is because whenever you go to the masjid, you are on your way to the masjid, one step will raise your rank and the other one will wipe from you a bad deed. And that's when you get to the masjid and you're waiting for the salah, you are considered as if you are in prayer, as if you are praying. And after you finish your prayer and you're sitting in that place in which you have prayed, the angels of Allah Azza wa Jal will be saying, Allahumma ghafir lah, oh Allah, forgive this person. Allahumma arham, oh Allah, have mercy on this person. Allahumma tub alayhi, oh Allah, accept the repentance of this person. And the angels will continue to make this dua for you. Continue to make this dua for you. Allahumma ghafir, Allah, forgive him. Oh Allah, have mercy on him. Oh Allah, accept his repentance. Unless the person breaks his wudu. Now, some people say that I am busy with my work. My work schedule doesn't allow me to pray. I can't pray because of my work. We say that a job like that will not save you from the hellfire. You have to pray your prayer on time before the time of the prayer goes out. You have to. You can't combine Dhuhr with Asr, with Maghrib and Isha before you go to sleep because you were working for 15 hours. No, it's not acceptable. I remember a story from my father. He said that once, I think he was in New York, and he said a young man came to me after the Jum'ah prayer. And he said, "Ya Sheikh, I work with this person who doesn't allow me to go to Jum'ah, but I still go to Jum'ah. And we always fight about that. But today he got fed up with me and he said, if you go to Jum'ah, if you go to your prayer today, you are fired. So he said, I'm going to go to the Salah. And he came to the masjid and he prayed Jum'ah. I remember that my father said that I told that man, yani inshaAllah Allah Azza wa Jal accepts from you and may Allah Azza wa Jal give you something better. We know that من ترك شيئا لله عوضه الله خيرا. If you leave something for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah Azza wa Jal will give you something better. SubhanAllah, after a couple of months, my father went to the same masjid. And he met the same guy and he came to him and he gave him salam and he kissed his head and he said, Ya Shaykh, in that same exact day, I found another job with a better salary and they allowed me to go to Jum'ah prayer. It's just that you need to put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you work and you can take 5 minute break to go to the bathroom because it's a necessity, salah is more important. You have to take this break to go and to do your prayer before the time of the salah comes out. Some people, wal-iyadu billah, don't take advantage of their life. They're waiting and waiting and waiting and procrastinating. Every day is tomorrow, and tomorrow comes, and it's tomorrow, and so forth. Why I'm lazy, and so forth. SubhanAllah, they say, one of the scholars said that procrastination is just like a person who says, I have to root this tree out. I have to take this thing out. But he says with his procrastination, he keeps saying tomorrow and after tomorrow until the years pass. And what will happen to that tree? It will grow bigger and bigger and bigger. When you procrastinate in this issue, your heart gets harder and harder and harder. And your sins become more and more and more. Prayer, you have to start doing it right now. You have to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right now. Otherwise, you might be faced with death. And some people, when death comes to them, they would say, رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran about some people that when death comes to them, they will say, رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. Oh Allah, please, let me go back. Why? لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتُ. Maybe I will do some good deeds in that which I have left behind me. I'm going to do some good deeds. You know what's the answer that comes from Allah Azza wa Jal? كَلَّا. No. No. إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا. It's a word that he would say. وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. But they are going to stay in this barzakh life, in this grave life, until the day of judgment. Once the Prophet ﷺ saw a man who was being buried or a grave. You know what he said to the Sahaba sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, رَكَعَتَانِ مِمَّا تَحْقِرُونَ وَتَنَفَّلُونَ يَزِيدُهُمَا هَذَا فِي عَمَلِهِ خَيْرٌ لَهُ مِنْ دُنْيَاكُمْ. Just two rak'ahs. They are not even an obligatory prayer. He said the Prophet ﷺ says, مِمَّا تَحْقِرُونَ وَتَنَفَّلُونَ. Two rak'ahs that you don't even pay attention to. It's just an extra two rak'ahs. He says, if this person had added them to his good deeds, it would be better for him than this whole world. SubhanAllah, when I was in high school, we had this brother with us, may Allah Azza wa Jal forgive him. He didn't used to practice at all, and he didn't used to pray. And his brother was a practicing person, and he would always advise him to pray and to do good deeds and so forth. And subhanAllah, one day Allah Azza wa Jal opened this person's heart for salah, for prayer, and for practicing Islam. So his brother, as his brother says, he says that I came to call my brother for dinner. I knocked on his door, he didn't open. I came after 5 minutes, 10 minutes, he didn't open the door. Then he said, finally opened the door, and I saw my brother making sujood. But he was also dead. Just 1 week or 2 weeks after he started praying to Allah Azza wa Jalla, 5 daily prayers. Imagine if death came to this person and he didn't start praying yet. How could have his situation be like? A sister said, as one of the doctors narrates the story, he said, I was once in the hospital in a Muslim land, and I saw a man was extremely weak and shaking. And there is another woman standing over there, so she called me and she said, please, can you help me? Can you help me and my husband? He said, that man is your husband? She said, yes. He asked, what is wrong with him? She told him he has an amazing story. He said he always used to like delay his prayers and not paying much attention to his salah. And that I used to always tell my husband to pray. So one day, after they made the adhan, I told him, go and pray, pray, pray. Then he told me with a very arrogant tone, he said, I'm not going to pray at all. I'm not going to pray. She said, subhanAllah, just after a couple of minutes, who heard him? It's Allah Azza wa Jal, the real king. She said, the man started to shake, and he's been in this situation since that day. As Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُ اتَّقِ اللَّهِ أَخَذَتْهُ الْعِزَّةُ بِالْإِذْ. When he is asked to fear Allah Azza wa Jal, the izzah or the arrogance with ithn, with disobedience comes and creeps to his heart. So if you're not praying the 5 daily prayers because you have arrogance, remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could destroy you in this life and he could punish you in the hereafter. We mentioned some of the ayahs from the Quran and some of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What did the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did the scholars say about the salah? For example, the Khalifa Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu used to say, لا حظ في الإسلام لمن ترك الصلاة. That there is absolutely no Islam for the person who leaves the salah. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says, مَنْ تَرَكَ الصَّلَاةَ فَلَا دِينَ لَهُ. Whoever leaves the salah, then this person has no religion, meaning no religion of Islam remaining. Al-Imam ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says that there is no difference of opinion between the Muslims, that the person who leaves the obligatory prayer intentionally, that this person have committed one of the gravest sins, that this person committed something from the great kaba'ir, from the gravest sins, and that his sin with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater than killing an innocent soul. And it is worse than stealing people's money. It is worse than committing fornication. It is worse than drinking. And this person is exposing himself to the punishment of Allah in this dunya, and he's exposing himself to the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal in the hereafter. And finally, if all of what we have mentioned did not convince, then unfortunately we have to say that it's either the prayer or the hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes to us the people of Jannah, the people of paradise. They're talking to each other, they're chatting with one another. And some of them would say, they will be asking about the criminals. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, "Illa ashab al-yamin fi jannatin yatasaalun 'an al-mujrimin." That the people of the right, the mu'mineen, the believers, they will be wondering about the criminals, the people of Saqar, of the hellfire. They will be asking them, "Ma salakakum fi Saqar?" What made you go into Saqar, into the hellfire? You know what would they say? They will say, لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِينَ. These are the people of the hellfire answering. The first reason why they were casted into the hellfire, they will say, لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِينَ. We were not among those who prayed. Allah Azza wa Jal here mentions Saqar, the hellfire with the name Saqar. You know that it has so many names, but this name Saqar is mentioned here. But what is Saqar? Allah Azza wa Jal says in the same surah, سَأُصْلِيهِ سَقَرْ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا سَقَرْ. I'm going to cast him in Saqar. And what would make you know what Saqar is? What this hellfire with this name is? Allah Azza wa Jal says, لَا تُبْقِي وَلَا تَذَرْ. It will not leave any sinner, and it will not leave anything unburnt. لَا تُبْقِي وَلَا تَذَرْ. It will not leave any sinner, and it will not leave anything unburnt. لواحة للبشر. It burns the skin. عليها 19. There are 19 angels guarding it. In another ayah, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, يوم يسحبون في النار على وجوههم ذوقوا مس سقر. The day that they will be pulled on their faces in the hellfire, and it will be said to them, taste the hellfire. Taste Saqar. These are the people of Saqar. The reason number one they were in Saqar is لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. We were not among those who prayed. Not praying, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, makes you drown, makes the person drown. Makes the person drown in his desires. And this causes the person to drown in the hellfire. Allah Azza wa Jal, after he described those great and noble people, his prophets, like Musa and Ibrahim alayhi salam in Surah Maryam, and Ismail, Allah Azza wa Jal describes him by saying about him, كان صادق الوعد, that he was truthful in his when he promises. كان رسول النبي, he was a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وكان يأمر أهله بالصلاة, he used to command his family to do the salah. Then Allah Azza wa Jal, after he described all of these noble prophets of his, you know what he says after that? فَخَلَفَ مِن بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاءُ الصَّلَاةِ. And then after these people, meaning after all these noble people, some kind of people came who neglected their salah. And what else? وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ. And they followed their desires. They're always combined. You don't pray, then you have to be following your desires. You're drowning in following your desires. فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا. And for them is غَي. For them is غَي. And غَي is a valley in the hellfire. It's not only one valley for those people who neglected the salah. that Allah Azza wa Jalla sometimes says ghayb. In another time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they are going to be in Saqar. Another time, Allah Azza wa Jal says that وَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. وَيْل for those who are neglectful with their prayers. So three, وَيْل and غَيْل and سَقَر. As some of the Mufassirin say that this وَيْل is a valley in Jahannam. If all of the mountains of this earth were to be put in that valley, they would have melted. This is the promise that Allah Azza wa Jal is promising those people who don't want to pray or who are neglectful of their prayers. Those people who don't care about the times of their prayers, we can pray Dhuhr and Asr and Maghrib and Isha together. We can delay Fajr every day until the sun rises and so forth. An salatihim sahoon, they're not paying attention to their prayers. This is their promise. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect us all from that. And I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to open the hearts of those who don't pray to pray. Finally, the scholars of Islam have differed concerning the person who doesn't pray. But it is a very strange kind of difference of opinion. Some of them say that this person who doesn't pray, he's a fasiq. He's a wicked person. He's a fajr. He transgressed all the limits. And he should be asked to repent, but he's not a disbeliever. This is one school of thought. What about the other one? The second one says that this person is a disbeliever. That this person is just like the mushrikeen. He's just like any disbeliever who doesn't believe in Islam. He could not be inherited, nor can he inherit from any Muslim. If he's married, his wife cannot stay with him because she would be staying with a disbeliever. He should not be washed when he dies. He should not be buried with the Muslims. And this is the second group of ulama. So after all of this, would anyone want this for himself? That the ulama, the scholars of Islam are differing whether I'm a wicked person or I'm a disbeliever? SubhanAllah, if there is a story that I wouldn't forget, it might be this story. I remember that there was a masjid with an imam in it. And they asked once the imam of the masjid that this young man who's 18 years old, he just died. And his family was bringing him to the masjid to be washed, obviously, and to be prayed on by the Muslims, and then to be buried. Then one of the relatives of this 18-year-old youth came to the imam of the masjid and he said, Sheikh, I have to tell you something. I have to be honest with you. This man never used to pray the five daily prayers at all. So do whatever you want to do. The Sheikh said, I had to call one of the great scholars. He called, as far as I remember, Sheikh ibn Uthaymeen before he died, rahimahullah. Sheikh ibn Uthaymeen told him, if he didn't pray at all, don't wash him. Don't let the Muslims pray on him. Don't bury him with the Muslim. Just take him to any deserted area and bury him there. And that was the ruling, and this is what they did. It's not a joke. The Prophet ﷺ is saying, مَنْ تَرَكَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرْ. Whoever leaves it, he's no longer a Muslim. He's a disbeliever. Now, we come to some of the solutions. One of them is that you turn to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And you asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely that He helps you pray these five daily prayers. And if you find it difficult, cry to Allah Azza wa Jalla. As some of the ulama say, that when you ask Allah, be like a child. If He doesn't give you what you need, cry for Him. Cry in front of Him and beg Him and continue to beg Him until He grants you what you're asking for. No, that Allah is very generous. The Prophet ﷺ says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ شِبْرًا تَقَرَّبْتُ إِلَيْهِ ذِرَاعًا وَمَنْ تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ ذِرَاعًا تَقَرَّبْتُ إِلَيْهِ بَاعًا وَمَنْ أَتَانِي يَمْشِي أَتَيْتُهُ هَرْوَلًا. That if you come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a shibr is hand span, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come towards you an arm span. And if you come towards Allah Azza wa Jalla an arm span, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come towards you, ba'an, which is this much. And if you walk towards Allah, Allah Azza wa Jal will run towards you, will jog towards you. So you're dealing with Allah Azza wa Jal, the most generous, subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he sees in your heart that you really want to pray these five daily prayers, you don't want to mess around with these five daily prayers, you really want to pray them on time, and you're asking him, and you're coming close to him, Allah Azza wa Jal will come even closer to you, and he will make it easier and easier for you. The final thing that I would like to mention is the importance of good company, and this is for our young brothers and sisters. If all of your friends don't pray, I wouldn't be surprised that you do not pray. Allah Azza wa Jalla says to His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Wasbir nafsak." Be patient and perseverant with those who pray to their Lord bil ghadati wal ashi, in the morning and in the evening. They mention Allah Azza wa Jalla in the morning and in the evening. Mujahid, the great mufassir, interpreter of the Quran, he said that these are the people who pray. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He helps you. Make dua to Allah Azza wa Jalla that He assists you. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make praying these five daily prayers very easy for you. I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make these five daily prayers dear to you. And I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make them a source of comfort for you. As the Prophet ﷺ used to say, "Arihna biha ya Bilal." O Bilal, give us comfort with these five daily prayers. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make it a comfort for your eye. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, "That ju'ilat qurratu 'ayni fi salah." Ask Allah Azza wa Jal for His forgiveness, for indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most forgiving. Whatever good we said in this talk, it was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever wrong that was said in this talk, it is merely from myself and from shaitan. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me for them. Jazakum Allahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This concludes the lecture. We pray that you benefited from this, and we ask Allah to let it be a means of embetterment in this life and the next. For more lectures by this or other learned speakers, or to find out more information about Dar al-Arqam, log on to www.ciie.org. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.